They say that the goji berry could be the most nutritionally dense food on the planet. So give your body a real boost and a real treat, and give this most delicious and all-natural juice a try. Comes with a 90-day money-back guarantee. To place an order, request a free book and an audio tape, call 877-888-4777. That's 877-888-4777. Listen to the Inside View on Health every week on FirstAmendmentRadio.com for the ultimate nutritional discovery.
Years ahead of the dominant media, find out first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com, on satellite, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70. The number to call in during this live broadcast is 1-800-858-6582. If you have unlimited long distance or are calling from a cell phone, please use our toll number, 1-559-733-5161. That's 1-559-733-5161. Thank you.
Welcome to another edition of American Exposé. This is Chris Gerner speaking to you on the, the 4th of August. Much going on and change of music tonight. Just got kind of tired of the same old thing, and that's kind of the way I am at times. Last night, this recapping of Vietnam and the Bobby Garwood experience is quite traumatic to me. But the repression of the Socialist Republic of Vietnam, executions and population relocation by Jacqueline Debray, this was done in 1990. And so, you know, we're dealing with a lot of that time here, and it was very traumatic, as I said before, to me, for our country. And I hope that Monday and Tuesday broadcast and last Thursday, which was replayed Monday, I hope you concentrate on those and pass the information on far and wide, because it's most important to do so as things develop. Now, Nicholas is here tonight to operate the board, and he doesn't want to be bored tonight, so this would be a good night to call in. And Steve from Ohio, certainly you've sent me a lot of information that I haven't been able to access certain directions, although this letter from a contingent of Orrin Hatch, Republican of Utah, has put together a very well chronicled scenario of this screening of the entire population for mental illness, which I'll get into tonight. So, Steve, if you're able to get into this British Medical Journal information that I haven't yet, that would be good to call in with. Other callers with your thoughts about things, that would be welcome tonight. As I'm on trial, people, you know. I mean, if you don't listen, there's no reason to support me, as this network does. And that is very, very important because at this point in time, what is there but trying to deal with the truth? As I was watching CNN today, the 9/11 Commission report, and how there was such a complaint about all the recommendations not being implemented, and how Kerry, being elected to office, plans to implement all of them if he's in office. What are these commission report recommendations? That would be very interesting to find out, wouldn't it, people? And I've gotten into it to a certain degree. But these are directions that are being developed for us by the federal system. And the whole scenario of Pearl Harbor from 1941 and the Gulf of Tonkin from Vietnam, you know, it just kind of brings us to this 9/11 situation, which is another created crisis, because what happened on September 11th, 2001, was a created scenario. You could watch the video the first day of explosions in the entire building going down, one after another, one after another. The succession of explosions in the building. Building number 7 was never discussed much, although the news commentators on the scene were stating that more buildings were anticipated to come down as a result of airliners hitting the 2 big, tall buildings. Never made any sense. So we have the final report on the National Commission on Terrorist Attacks upon the United States. They stated on CNN today that they're expecting more and more terrorist activity. Now, we have the porous borders, and I've certainly chronicled why that's been happening for so long. It doesn't make any sense. It's like pulling teeth to fly in an airplane today. You know, it's just not the way it used to be, and it's a created crisis situation. This is my feeling on the whole thing. And I have a letter from a listener. I want to get it to you, listeners. He says here, "I have recently discovered your radio show on First Amendment Radio. I would like to thank you for your honest and forthright delivery on the radio show. I would also like to thank you for exposing the level of tyranny we are truly experiencing. Most share milk when it comes to the mess we are in. You appear to bring meat to the table. I recently was drawn to your show, which focused on your being depressed. These are indeed depressing and frustrating times. In many ways, though, these are the most interesting times mankind has ever experienced. In this generation, we are witnessing the strong-armed takeover of nations by a select few. We live in a nation of people who are incapable of seeing or hearing. How many generations can say they witnessed such a dramatic transformation of a nation of people? What generation of Americans can say they witnessed the development of a dictatorial government in America? What American generation can say they were forced to take an implantable microchip? Who could say their generation was dumbed down by watching TV and reading newspapers of the mainstream? At no other time could an American generation make factual claims they live under United Nations control. There's been no time when an entire population willingly accepted massive drug inoculation programs and the debilitating effects of pharmaceutical drugs. Who can say the skies were filled with toxic materials deliberately by the reigning government? How many can say during the generation they stood on the wall as a watchman? Those who make this claim will know depression and frustration. They, unlike the masses, will know the truth as well. You must be a man of faith. Please never forget your watch on the wall does not go unnoticed." And, Stephen, I appreciate that. Always welcome to hear that kind of information and thoughts from people out there with what's being developed for us and been developed for us from the past. It's very easy to confront what's coming in the future. and that is the sad scenario we live. According to this 9/11 Commission report, how to do it, a different way of organizing the government, as presently configured, the national security institutions of the U.S. government are still the institutions constructed to win the Cold War. The United States confronts a very different world today. Instead of facing a few very dangerous adversaries, the United States confronts a number of less visible challenges that surpass the boundaries of traditional nation states and call for quick, imaginative, and agile responses. The men and women of the World War II generation rose to the challenges of the 1940s and 1950s. They restructured the government so that it could protect the country. That is now the job of the generation that experienced 9/11. Those attacks showed emphatically that ways of doing business rooted in a different era are just not good enough. Americans should not settle for incremental and ad hoc adjustments to a system designed generations ago for a world that no longer exists. You see where they're leading us? Do you see where it's going? And keep in mind that the Second World War, I've totally chronicled that was a UN police action. The Allies, the Avalon Project and all that certainly chronicled what happened there. And if you weren't with us, certainly this anti-Comintern pact between Germany and Japan to fight or to organize against the Communist International or the Communistic International, so-called the Comintern, dated November 25th, 1936. Japan and Germany were allied to fight communism. That's what they were allied to fight. Then the declaration by the United Nations January 1st, 1942, where all these nations of the world could not sign a treaty against Germany and Japan or with Germany and Japan without all the other nations together. It was a declaration by the United Nations, January 1st, 1942. And then the fact that the Israeli situation, or Israel, being ensconced in Palestine, dated November 29th, 1947, United Nations General Assembly Resolution 181. So all that is pretty well chronicled from the Avalon Project at Yale Law School. So the point is, when they talk about men and women of the World War II generations rose to the challenges of the 1940s and 1950s, what are they talking about here? We're living a life of smoke and mirrors. Our parents and grandparents lived a life of smoke and mirrors. That is the point. Now, they say, we recommend significant changes in the organization of the government. We know that the quality of people is more important than the quality of the wiring diagrams. Interesting. Some of the saddest aspects of 9/11, or of the 9/11 story, are the outstanding efforts of so many individual officials straining, often without success, against the boundaries of the possible. Good people can overcome bad structures. They should not have to. The United States has the resources and the people. The government should combine them more effectively, achieving unity of effort. We offer five major recommendations to do that. Unifying strategic intelligence and operational planning against Islamic terrorists across the foreign domestic divide with a national counterterrorism center. Well, that's a mouthful and a half to state they're going to create a national counterterrorism center. Well, what is the Office of Homeland Security about anyway, which was created long before September 11, 2001? I think it was called Roadmap to National Security. And I have it around here somewhere. You've heard me talk about it, regular listeners. This is all planned for in advance. So once again, they say unifying strategic intelligence and operational planning, whatever that means, against Islamic terrorists across the foreign domestic divide, whatever that means, with a national counterterrorism center. Then they want to unify the intelligence community with a new national intelligence director. Now, what have they been doing all this time and all these years unifying the intelligence community? How can you unify the intelligence community when they're not answerable to anyone? The intelligence community they're not answerable to anyone. So they want to set up a new national intelligence director. How can this be? Then they want to talk about unifying the many participants in the counterterrorism effort and their knowledge in a network-based information-sharing system that transcends traditional governmental boundaries. Are there checks and balances in place to keep this from happening? Hasn't this been going on all along, unifying the many participants in the counterterrorism effort? Is it called consolidation of power into a fewer and fewer amount of hands? Once again, unifying the many participants in the counterterrorism effort and their knowledge in a network-based information-sharing system that transcends traditional governmental boundaries. Also, unifying and strengthening congressional oversight to improve quality and accountability. Well, I don't know what to say about unifying and strengthening congressional oversight. Who are these congressmen? Where does a third way fit into this? And the communitarian network, as many of these congressmen and senators espouse upon this direction, unifying and strengthening congressional oversight to improve quality and accountability. Strengthening the FBI and Homeland Defenders. Strengthening the FBI and Homeland Defenders? You've got to be joking. How much stronger do they have to be? What is the point except to trash and trash and trash the constitutional qualities and quantities that we've been able to afford all these years, except that behind the scenes, the Constitution has been suspended for years. The executive order dictatorship has proven that. The loss of real money has proven it too, moving to a cashless society. Legal tender for all debts, public and private, on the bills. So obviously our Constitution is there, and those of us that have the knowledge of what's going on have to keep pertaining to it, but those behind the scenes don't use it. And this certainly fits into this mental health screening initiative as well. So they talk about unity of effort across the foreign-domestic divide. When they talk about joint action, much of the public commentary about 9/11 attacks has dealt with lost opportunities, some of which we received in Chapter 11, meaning bankruptcy. These are often characterized as problems of watch listing, of information sharing, or of connecting the dots. Isn't that interesting? We've used that word quite a lot, haven't we? In Chapter 11, we explained that these labels are not narrow. They describe the symptoms, not the disease. Really. In each of our examples, no one was firmly in charge of managing the case and liable to draw relevant intelligence from anywhere in the government, assign responsibilities across the agencies, foreign or domestic, track progress, and quickly bring obstacles up to the level where they could be resolved. Responsibility and accountability were diffuse. Interesting. They go on to say the agencies cooperated some of the time, but even such cooperation as there was is not the same thing as joint action. When agencies cooperate, one defines the problem and seeks help with it. When they act jointly, the problem and options for action are defined differently from the start. Individuals from different backgrounds come together in analyzing a case and planning how to manage it. Anyway, it goes on and on and on. They say, as I skip down here, in our hearings we regularly asked our witnesses, who is the quarterback? The other players are in their position doing their jobs, but who is calling the play that assigns roles to help them execute as a team. Since 9/11, those issues have not been resolved. In some ways, joint work has gotten better, and in some ways, worse. The efforts of fighting terrorism has flooded over many of the usual agency boundaries because of its sheer quantity and energy. Attitudes have changed. Officials are keenly conscious of trying to avoid the mistakes of 9/11. They are to share information. They circulate, even to the president, particularly every reported threat, however dubious. Partly because of all this effort, the challenge of coordinating it has multiplied. Before 9/11, the CIA was plainly the lead agency confronting Al-Qaeda. Well, isn't that interesting? The CIA was plainly the lead agency confronting Al-Qaeda. It could very well be that the CIA created Al-Qaeda back during the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. Oh, boy. These are the sad commentaries that we have, people. Abdul Shams, who was an advisor of the cabinet of who was in charge in Afghanistan before the Soviet invasion, talked about how the Soviet engineers and the Army Corps of Engineers jointly built roads and bridges leading to Afghanistan from various parts of the world that were so well built that these bridges could hold the weight of 20 times whatever vehicle the Afghans had. The heaviest vehicle the Afghans had, in other words, what the bridges could take as far as weight, was the weight of tanks and heavy military equipment, which the Afghans did not have. In other words, the invasion of Afghanistan by the Soviet Union was planned long in advance. All these wars, apparently, are planned long in advance. And that's where we are today, in this system of planned, created chaos. Ordo ab chao. And this is where we live today, wherever we are in the world. So once again, partly because of all this effort, the challenge of coordinating, it has multiplied. Before 9/11, the CIA was plainly the lead agency confronting Al-Qaeda. Huh. The FBI played a very secondary role. The engagement of the Departments of Defense and State was more episodic. Isn't that amazing? Episodic. Well, think of the first 9/11, actually the first World Trade Center disaster in 1993, which didn't come off like it should have by the other side. God bless America for that. But the perpetrators of those crimes were connected to the FBI, according to certain reports. So, once again, how are we living this Hegelian dialectic, people? We are. We're living a Hegelian lifestyle today. So they say today the CIA is still central, but the FBI is much more active, along with other parts of the Justice Department. So, once again, today the CIA is still central. Who is the CIA? Who's in charge, really, behind the scenes? We know the CIA was created out of the OSS, and a lot of Nazis were recruited through Operation Paperclip into the CIA, according to certain sources. Operation Paperclip, bringing these high intelligence figures from Nazi Germany to America. And some say we have the Fourth Reich of the Rich today. Well, whatever it takes to suppress the population apparently is what is being done here. Now they say the Department of the Defense Department effort is now enormous. Three of its unified commands, each headed by a four-star general, have counterterrorism as a primary mission. Special Operations Command, Central Command, both headquartered in Florida, and Northern Command, headquartered in Colorado. The new, did you know this? The new Department of Homeland Security combines formidable resources in border and transportation security, along with analysis of domestic vulnerability and other tasks. And here they say the State Department has the lead on many of the foreign policy tasks we described in Chapter 12, which we haven't covered. You have to cover Chapter 12 yourself. At the White House, the National Security Council, the NSC, now is joined by a parallel presidential advisory structure, the Homeland Security Council. Well, we certainly know about Homeland Security, and we certainly chronicled that the roadmap for national security was planned long in advance, as I chronicled that document, as one of you good listeners sent it to me when I was still living in California. Long before September 11, 2001. And, you know, many people predicted this act, not at the World Trade Center, but many people predicted that there was going to be another terrorist event. Now they're predicting there's going to be another one, a major one. But who's doing the planning behind the scenes to make this all come about? See, that's the point, and most of you realize this. That's why a lot of you have kind of just thrown up your hands, and you're working with Rice McLeod in his direction, which is fine. I helped to get Rice McLeod a show on this network, and you know, more power to him. I have people that think poorly of me for doing that. I don't know what to say about that. There's other people that are having success with Rice McLeod's work. My point is that the structure in place does not care ultimately where this is going to go for us. They want to eliminate a portion of the population, a good portion of the population, because a smaller and smaller population are easier to control. How are they going to do it? Obviously, we're becoming more and more dependent on foreign food. And for years and decades, farmers have been paid not to plant. Now there's a big war on obesity now. Well, why not? There's nothing to do anymore for a lot of people. There's less and less to do. And there's more and more promotion of fast food restaurants. And certainly the food quality at fast food restaurants is, well, do I need to expound on that? But the point is that there's less and less to do. And here we have these created crises for us as September 11, 2001. And now the 9/11 Commission has given their recommendations. And they say, so far we have mentioned two reasons for joint action: the virtue of joint planning and the advantage of having someone in charge to ensure a unified effort. There is a third: the simple shortage of experts with sufficient skills, the limited pool of critical experts, for example, skilled counterterrorism analysis and linguists, as being depleted. Expanding those capabilities will require not just money, but time. You know, the point is, here we are with this gigantic action in the Middle East, Iraq and Afghanistan. We have control of the oil wealth over there. Oil will flow through pipelines being constructed right now. You better believe there's pipelines being constructed right now. And who's in control of them? We are, with the United States mission to the United Nations. And that is the point in the problem. We'll be back to continue the broadcast, listeners. A little time for a break, and we'll continue. And if you want to call in, and I don't want to put Nicholas to sleep, 800-858-6582. 800-858-6582 is the number.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
If you can hear my voice, you are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. If you would like to continue hearing these programs, there are several ways that you can help. One, you can make a donation or subscribe to your favorite program by going to firstamendmentradio.com on the internet and follow the instructions there. Two, you can sponsor your favorite program with your business advertising dollars or spend your dollars with those businesses that advertise on your favorite programs. Three, simply call in on live programs and tell them that you are listening on firstamendmentradio.com. Now anyone can do that one. You can find the call-in numbers on our schedule pages at firstamendmentradio.com. And finally, you can call 559-733-5002 and leave your name and address, and we will send you a support pack. Thank you for listening.
Suffer from gingivitis, sore and sensitive gums, bad breath, canker sores? Use Vitamir toothpaste and mouthwash for healthy mouth and gums. Order now. Call toll-free 1-888-558-8482. That's 1-888-558-8482. Vitamir uses no fluoride, no saccharin, and no aspartame. Vitamir mouthwash and toothpaste are 100% natural products that fight gums and periodontal disease with zinc and folic acid to assist your body's immune system, and uses the ancient powers of clove and myrrh to purify and soothe. Aids in healing mouth sores from braces, heals bleeding gums, a natural teeth whitening that works, and eliminates bad breath with regular use. Order online at www.vitamir.com. That's www.vitamir.com or call toll-free 1-888-558-8482. That's 888-558-8482.
You are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. We do not have freedom of speech because the Constitution gives it to us. The constitutional amendment was written to keep the government from taking our freedom away. The Creator gave us our rights, but He also gives us the capacity to do evil or usurp the rights of others. Our individual rights end where the rights of another begin. No one has the right to do evil because evil can never be right. Those who would seek to limit your right to speak or hear the truth are the same who seek to subjugate, control, and enslave you. Freedom is not free. Support the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network by going to firstamendmentradio.com on the internet and following the instructions there to support us. Or call 559-733-5002 and leave your name and address and we will send you a support pack. Thank you for listening.
Back with the broadcast called American Exposé. Go to the website AmericanExposé.com, America spelled with a K, and access the commission report, the 9/11 commission report, and research it for yourself. 600 plus pages. Before we get back into this, and certainly this mental health screening initiative, we're going to cover that too, but from the paper, dated August 3rd, from the Science and Health section of the Oklahoman. Einstein Urged U.S. Action is what it's titled. On August 2nd, 1939, isn't that interesting? Just about an anniversary date, August 2nd, 1939. German-born physicist Albert Einstein wrote to Franklin D. Roosevelt, President Franklin D. Roosevelt, urging quick action on the part of the United States in atomic research. Einstein, a lifelong pacifist, feared that Nazi Germany had begun work on an atomic bomb. Einstein worked in particle and energy theory, helped make possible quantum mechanics, and early atom research. After reading Einstein's letter, Roosevelt created the Uranium Committee, and in 1942, the highly secret atomic program became known as the Manhattan Project. On July 16, 1945, scientists in the New Mexico desert exploded the first atomic bomb. 3 weeks later, two U.S. atomic bombs were dropped on Japan. The attacks killed more than 200,000 people and ended the Second World War or World War II. Einstein, I don't know who he is or who he was. I don't know whether he was beneficial for our country or not. Nikola Tesla is the man, and he's never mentioned. Nikola Tesla, I'm sure Einstein stole much from Nikola Tesla. We never hear about Nikola Tesla. Isn't that weird? Isn't that strange? Actually, it's not strange at all when you have the suppression of information that's been going on all these time, all these years and days. Here we see that there's a mission to Mercury, the last frontier of the terrestrial planets. And this is talking about Mariner 10. All this going on while we're uptight about the next terrorist event and the screening for mental illness of the entire population, which is certainly a sad, sad situation. Back to this 9/11 Commission report and their recommendations, they say primary responsibility for terrorism analysis has been assigned to the Terrorism Threat Integration Center, the TTIC. How many of us knew about this, the Terrorism Threat Integration Center? Once again, created in 2003, based at the CIA headquarters, but staffed with representatives of many agencies, reporting directly to the Director of Central Intelligence. Yet the CIA houses another intelligence fusion center, the Counterterrorist Center, that played such a key role before 9/11. Well, once again, we knew this 9/11 situation, or S-11, or whatever you want to call it, was planned for long in advance. So, this roadmap to national security document from January 2001 talked about forming the Office of Homeland Security. They needed to create a situation to bring about the Office of Homeland Security, so another Pearl Harbor was created for us. So what is this 9/11 Commission report? But nothing more than a direction to draconianly suppress the entire population under more control. They say a third major analytic unit is at defense, in the Defense Intelligence Agency, the DIA. The DIA. Well, shoot, we were just covering the DIA with the Robert Garwood interview back in 1998, where DIA said Bobby Garwood was a liar about where all these places were, that he was held with other POWs during the time that, or after the time that Henry Kissinger said there were no more live POWs in Vietnam. And he proved them wrong. Bobby Garwood proved them wrong. So what good is the Defense Intelligence Agency, and who are they? Now it continues, a fourth, concentrating more on homeland vulnerabilities, is at the Department of Homeland Security. The FBI is in the process of building the analytic capability it has long lacked, and it also has the Terrorist Screening Center. The U.S. government cannot afford so much duplication of effort, it says. There are not enough experienced experts to go around. The duplication also places extra demands on already hard-pressed single-source national technical intelligence collectors like the National Security Agency. Interesting. So then they want to talk about combining joint intelligence and joint action. A smart government would integrate all sources of information to see the enemy as a whole Integrated all-source analysis should also inform and shape strategies to collect more intelligence. Yet the Terrorist Threat Integration Center, while its primary responsibility is for terrorism analysis, is formally prescribed from having any oversight or operational authority and is not part of the operational entity other than reporting to the Director of Central Intelligence. The government now tries to handle the problem of joint management informed by analysis of intelligence from all sources in two ways. This is getting rather monotonous and mundane, I can tell, and I can understand why it's hard to stay with this. They say, first, agencies with lead responsibility for certain problems have constructed their own interagency entities and task forces in order to get cooperation. The Counterterrorist Center at CIA, for example, recruits liaison officers from throughout the intelligence community. The Military Central Command has its own interagency center, recruiting liaison officers from all the agencies from which it might need help. The FBI has joint terrorism task forces in 84 locations to coordinate the activities of other agencies when action may be required. My goodness. Second, the problem of joint operational planning is often passed to the White House, or the NSC staff tries to play this role. The National Security staff at the White House, both NSC and the new Homeland Security Council staff, has already become 50% larger since 9/11. But our impression after talking to several officials is that even this enlarged staff is consumed by meetings on day-to-day issues, shifting each day's threat information and trying to coordinate everyday operations. It goes on and on and on. 600 pages, people. My point about all this is this the Hegelian dialectic in action, and is this all about consolidation of power and structure? Because this is just getting out of hand, this whole situation. But the war on terrorism was stated right away, right after this September 11th action, that it's going to be a multi-decade war. This war on terrorism is going to be multi-decade. And what is terrorism? How do you define a terrorist? I've never found any congressman to define terrorism. Never found the government able to define terrorism. So, you've got career politicians in place, engineering control of the country, state sovereignty being eliminated, and all the different movies depicting U.S. Marshals as the big controller of all, starting with Marshall Dillon and Gunsmoke, people, the U.S. Marshal, John Wayne, and different U.S. Marshal positions he had as an actor. And what are they doing but earning a living acting? But the message is clear to the population. The U.S. Marshal is on top of everything. So with that in mind, with that situation set up for us, and Steve, I appreciate this, and certainly I'll try to get to this other one from the British Medical Journal, but this comes from Senator Orrin Hatch's office. He's a Republican of Utah, a career Republican from Utah, a fifth-term Republican. And this is a letter to him from a constituent. Dangerous Mental Health Screening Initiative, to Senator Orrin Hatch, dated July 20, 2004. Dear sir, I received a notice in email about expanding mental health screening to include teenagers. Already, child medications have risen 500% over the past 5 or 6 years, and these medications are harmful. This endangers our right to privacy. Here is the statement below. Extremely urgent action needed. The House Appropriations Committee funds President's new Freedom Commission initiative that includes a plan to screen all U.S. citizens for mental illness. Tell Congress and the White House no mental screening for Americans and no funding for this plan. Yesterday, the House Appropriations Committee approved $20 million in new federal dollars to begin implementation of the plans to set forth by the new Freedom Commission on Mental Health, the NFC, to get every man, woman, and child in America screened for mental illness. This all fits into the Model State Emergency Health Powers Act as well, listeners, as I interject. Amidst broad public concern that many of the antidepressants being prescribed to Americans are under federal investigation for causing suicidal reactions, the new Freedom on Mental Health Commission's campaign for national mental health screening will result in millions more Americans being diagnosed with fraudulent and unscientific mental disorders and prescribed dangerous and deadly psychiatric drugs. Now, $20 million has been approved by the House Appropriations Committee for state incentive transformation grants in order to begin nationwide implementation of the new Freedom Commission on Mental Health plan. It's the beginning of a brave new world should the Senate fund this. The commission based its entire findings on the definition of mental illness as defined by psychiatry's billing Bible, the American Psychiatric Association's Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, the DSM. The methods of mental health screening recommended by the new Freedom Commission are a list of arbitrary questions based on this DSM. If this sweeping mental health initiative is implemented, millions more Americans will certainly be diagnosed and drugged given the subjective diagnosis. The facts. The new Freedom Commission on Mental Health report states that mental illnesses are shockingly common, but neglects to address or even mention the fact that there is no medical or scientific means by which to diagnose mental illnesses. Psychiatrists and mental health proponents promote psychiatric disorders as a disease or an illness that can be diagnosed in the same manner as real physical illness. This is a fraud. There are no blood tests, brain scans, or chemical imbalance tests to validate any mental disorder as an illness or disease. With no scientific or medical criteria to substantiate these claims, everyone could be diagnosed as mentally ill based solely on a checklist of behaviors. The DSM contains hundreds of psychiatric mental disorders, which are a list of behavioral symptoms that are literally voted into existence and inserted into the DSM. Such diagnoses include caffeine-related disorder, mathematics disorder, disorder of written expression, wow, and the all-encompassing phase of life problem. These disorders are simply a classification of symptoms that are drastically different from and foreign to anything in medicine. The new Freedom Commission is blatantly promoting the coercive and manipulative tactics that have led to millions of children being falsely labeled with mental disorders in our public schools. Schools have become mental health clinics where children are diagnosed based on subjective questionnaires instead of given proven educational solutions. This fact was substantiated by a report from the President's Commission on Excellence in Special Education, which found that 2.4 million children had been diagnosed with mental disorders and placed in special education, when in fact these children had simply not been taught to read. Amazing. The issue of coerced child drugging in public schools has become so prevalent that the U.S. House of Representatives passed the Child Medication Safety Act in May 2003, to prevent schools from forcing a parent to drug their child as a condition of attending school. Due to psychiatric influence, parents have been reported to Child Protective Services and charged with medical neglect for refusing to give their child a psychiatric drug. such as those currently under investigation for causing suicidal reactions. Parents have been charged with medical neglect for refusing psychiatric treatment based on the fact that there is no scientific proof that there is anything mentally wrong with the child. In a recent report by Alan Jones, a former investigator in the Pennsylvania Office of Inspector General, the OIG, Office of Special Investigations condemning the new Freedom Commission, the NFC, states, quote, despite a nearly 500% increase in American children being prescribed mental health drugs during the past 5 years, or 6 years, the new Freedom Commission on Mental Health found and not enough adolescents are benefiting from mental health treatment. The NFC recommendations prominently call for mandatory mental health screening for all high school students with follow-up treatment as required. This means more kids on mind-altering and potentially lethal psychiatric drugs, end quote. Please, sir, please oppose this against our Utah heritage of freedom. After all, that's what our state is about. Liberals are tough about these silly new laws and actions. I feel Republicans should make stronger efforts to oppose the liberal agenda. That's a very well stated letter to Orrin Hatch. And I'll tell you, the way things are being engineered for us today, it's 2004. What else is new? This is what I say. What else is new? I mean, why should we be so concerned and so shocked about what's being engineered here? And this 9/11 Commission report, it's just page after page after page. And you can see here with the NCTC. The NCTC should lead strategic analysis, pooling all sources of intelligence, foreign and domestic, about transitional terrorist organizations. Actually, it's transnational terrorist organizations with global reach. It should develop net assessments comparing enemy capabilities and intentions against U.S. defenses and counterterrorism measures. It should also provide warning. It should do this work by drawing on the efforts of the CIA, FBI, Homeland Security, and other departments and agencies. It should task collection requirements both inside and outside the United States. When you see how all this is being engineered and you see the culpability of agencies to allow things to happen from the past to the present, this is the Hegelian dialectic working. This is what it is. It's the Hegelian dialectic in action. And I'm sorry to be so negative about these directions, but it's just the fact of the matter. There's networks out there that don't allow the truth to be heard. And a perfect example is apparently it's a letter to Fox News. Journalism upstarts alternate challenge, Fox News Channel in fraudulent trademark. This is by Alvaro Rojas, Communications Associate, alternate.org. Out of San Francisco, California, Journalism's David and Goliath, the online news magazine Alternate, has announced a challenge filed with the United States Patent and Trademark Office against Fox News Channel for its attempt to trademark the slogan, Fair and Balanced. According to Alternate Executive Director Don Hazen, quote, there is nothing fair about deceptive advertising, and nothing balanced about appropriating words and ideas that logically cannot be trademarked by anyone, end quote. Quote, the smug manner in which the Fox News Channel refers to itself as fair and balanced makes serious journalists and news consumers shudder in revulsion. We will not and cannot allow Fox to trademark the revered journalistic ideal of objectivity. Is Fox to monopolize the use of those words? End quote, added Hazen. Alternet's challenge is being coordinated along with a petition filed July 19th with the Federal Trade Commission, the FTC, by Move On and Common Cause to stop Fox News from using the tagline based on the grounds that it is consumer fraud and false advertising. Move On, a 2.4 million member progressive advocacy organization, and Common Cause, a national media and government reform group, cite evidence of a clear Republican bias in its news coverage. You've got to be joking. Quote, Fox News is misleading its viewers by calling its partisan programming fair and balanced, end quote, said Move On co-founder Wes Boyd. The FTC and Congress must act to prevent this inaccurate marketing from further harming consumers and public trust in the media, end quote. San Francisco-based Alternet, with a 10-person staff, filed its challenge against the media behemoth, Fox News Channel, only a few hours before the deadline to file challenges was to pass. Robert Greenwald, muck-raking director of the documentary Outfoxed, a scathing critique of Fox News, is a member of the board of directors of the Independent Media Institute, Alternet's parent organization. That's just an example, one example of control of the press and manipulation of populations and people and thought patterns. Regarding the China situation, listeners, as we don't seem to cover much of the China situation, and we're just about finished with this hour, but we see here the Free China Movement report of the State Department meeting. This is July 1st. And then we see Bush cuts funding headed to China, cancels $34 million in family planning money over China's forced abortions, dated July 17th. We'll cover this. We'll also cover something else in the next hour. Conspiracy Theory or Just Conspiracy by Michael Hasty from Online Journal Contributing Writer is who he is, dated January 10th, 2004, which is very appropriate to what we're dealing with today, people. So keep this in mind, and we'll be back to continue the broadcast. It's called American Exposé. You're welcome to call in, 800-858-6582, as Nicholas is probably nodding off already. We'll be back.